Welcome to the Pastor and Intern Podcast. My name is Eric. I'm the pastor on the podcast, and I'm here with Will, who used to be the intern.
Well, we're not talking about that this episode yet. You're ruining already the next episode.
Well,
way to go. Way to go.
So if you don't know, Will's now pastor. I'm not going to ask you how you feel about that.
I didn't even know this information.
See, that's how top secret we kept it around
here. But see, the thing is, though, is that you'll always be the intern in my heart.
No, I won't. That's a lie. He'll get over it one day. And
actually, he abandoned
me. I love how
me.
You're like looking into the camera to like for those people.
I'm trying to find sympathy from some viewer out there. Jenna, how are you?
I'm good.
What have you been up to? What have you been doing?
Not a lot.
I saw a picture of you in a big chair.
I wasn't a big chair.
Yeah.
I was at an amusement park.
Ooh.
I was at Silver Dollar City.
Okay. Cool.
Really?
That's pretty cool.
What is that? Silver Dollar City.
Amusement park in Branson,
like
Missouri.
So are they opening that because no one lives in Missouri or why?
There really isn't. I mean, who do you know that
I know
lives?
One person from Missouri.
I don't know anybody who lives from... I'm trying to think of
I know a lot of people who live in Missouri.
That's true. I guess Midwestern is technically in Missouri, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So, but, all right, so Eric, what are we talking about?
Okay, so it's kind of our last...
It is.
It's kind of our last topic-driven
Yeah,
thing.
So for the summer, right? So we're walking through a summer series talking about life's toughest questions or things
sure.
of that nature.
Yeah.
And honestly, it feels like we haven't recorded a podcast in...
Well, we haven't.
Like 6 weeks. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but because we recorded a lot beforehand.
It's so weird that like we're pretty much done with this. Like,
yeah, done with the summer.
Series. Like, where did all this go?
I know. It's crazy.
July's almost over.
It is.
Yeah, it is. It's
so,
insane.
Yeah, so, but we do have one more, which.
Yeah, we do.
We brought in a specialist to talk about over here. A dad of two. One named Charlotte and Charles.
And Charles, yeah, the new edition.
He's going to teach me and Jenna. Because we don't have much of an input or say in any of this.
Oh, you're definitely getting asked questions. Don't you worry about it.
With dealing with parenting.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So I titled this one Parenting Well because I don't know that there is any sort of parenting silver bullet or perfect pill. Like there's nothing like take the red pill to be a good parent or a blue pill to be a deadbeat. Like, no, that's not.
What movie reference is that?
That is a Matrix movie
that's
reference.
Right.
Anyway. It's a great movie. I don't endorse.
Have you seen that now, Will?
I have.
Okay,
I have seen
good.
That now.
It's good. The
okay. The back bend.
Yeah. So anyway, so parenting. So again, just like I do all of these, I've got three questions.
Okay.
Okay. And I want you to, this first one is not a yes or no question. So I went easy on y'all, most of them, being like, yes, no. Will's usually like, he does that like shoulder thing he does.
You know, who I get that from? I don't like to take a stance.
So, I don't know who you get that from. Anyway, so here's the first question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What is a definition of a good parent?
What is a definition
yeah, so imagine,
of a good parent?
Okay, can they see my left arm here? Probably not.
Probably
okay,
not.
So if there was like a whiteboard right
here.
I'm not
sure they could see that one either.
Okay, so for me, if there was like a whiteboard over here, what are characteristics you would want me to write on the whiteboard?
Raising their children up in church.
Okay, going to church. Great. What's you, Jenna? Just anything.
Loving their children.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Feeding their children.
Feeding them.
Shelter.
Okay. Shelter.
Water.
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 Keeping them alive.
Alive. That's a good one.
Discipline.
Discipline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of some sort.
Easy.
A good mix of strict, but not like strict to the point of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just like super duper. Like you need to have some in there. Like you said, discipline.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be like, okay, go do whatever you want.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
I'm sure there's other things, but nothing off the top of my head, no.
Okay. Jenna, are you good?
I don't know.
Okay. So I feel like, again, I want to reiterate that there's not like one definition. Like if you're this, you're great. Okay, so we're not going to do that. But what we are going to do is we're going to turn to probably one of the most famous passages in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9 fairly quickly because you'll get the gist of it. And if you haven't heard these verses before, you've lived under a rock. Okay. This is the command, the statutes and ordinances the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, so that you may follow them in the land you are about to enter and possess. Do this, that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life, by keeping all his statutes and commands I am giving you, your son and your grandson, and so that you may have a long life. Listen, Israel, and be careful to follow them, so that you may prosper and multiply greatly, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. Okay, so just the 30-second exegesis, okay? So this is clearly given to Israel, right? So we're not Israel, so I think that needs to be put out there front. But I do think that God, being a moral being, this is not an exclusive thing, okay? So God is not just telling Israel to obey your commands and teach your children my ways, okay? That's not within God's moral ethic, okay? That's just not how it is. God wants any sort of person that follows him, so we would say Christians. God wants Christians to do this, okay? Now, you may dispute that and say, well, I'm not going to do this because da, 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 da. It's like, well, whatever, I'm going to dismiss you altogether because we only have 20 minutes. So that's kind of the background of what I've always went back to as far as what a good parent should be. Like, okay, so what is a good parent going to do for me in at least the spiritual realm? So am I saying that the best way to parent is to teach my children the Bible?
Yes.
Okay, Jenna?
I would also say yes.
Okay, great. So how do I do that?
That you're asking that?
Yeah, I'm asking y'all. So how am I okay. supposed to go about teaching my children the Bible? And you can literally use these verses as a frame of reference. Okay, so.
So,
what are we going for here? Okay, so the Ten Commandments are pretty good. Okay.
Sure. Or the verse 5 there.
Okay. Right. Okay. So, I like how in these verses, it's very intentional. I think that's something that we really need to get from this. I don't know that you can take every single part of this. Because honestly, we don't really have city gates that we can go up to and write John 3:16 on, even though I'm sure someone could graffiti that, but it's whatever. We don't even have city gates. Like, we have a sign.
The Welcome to Blackshear.
Like, we have a sign here and a sign here and over here and over here. You know, it's like four signs.
Look, that's impressive, okay?
It is, but I'm saying, like, that's just not realistic for us. But I think there's a massive practical element to all this stuff. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. So what if my children rebel to this type of thing? So let's say that Charlotte and Charles are growing up, and I'm trying to be intentional. I'm trying to read the Bible with them and express to them what its meaning is, and they rebel against that. So what happens if they do that?
Well, okay, so I guess it depends on age. And really with that, I mean, if they...
Let's say they're 12 and 10.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm wrapping my mind around my thought that I'm about to say. Okay, so if they're 12 and 10 and they are rebelling, I mean, I don't know, you keep doing it. You show them, I mean, you don't just give up, I don't think.
Right, okay, right. Yeah, I wouldn't give up.
Yeah. Okay.
Well.
Closing up shop. Yeah. Okay, so Jenna, what do you think?
I mean... I would say the same. I mean, just keep them like in church.
Yeah.
In your youth group, and you know, try to have like still family, like quiet times at home together, pray mm-hmm. with them.
Right. So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's interesting that in the passage, he doesn't really address children's roles in this. He more of addresses the parent to the children.
Mm-hmm.
So as if he doesn't, it's as if it wouldn't even matter whether or not the children rebel or not.
Right.
As if he's saying it doesn't matter, you just keep repeating these things to them.
Sure.
Now that probably can change roles and how that looks, mm-hmm. Whether that be a family type of devotion or whether it be, because I think even in discipline you can do that same thing.
Yeah.
Now don't ask me how, because I don't know, but I think it's possible.
So I think the first thing that jumped out to me when I wrote that question down was that would make 100% sense. like my children are little sinners, right? And they're just running around, running amok, you know, adding the sin count up in their life, right? And I'm trying to teach them something that is a completely contrary to who they are. So, you know, that's assuming my children aren't saved. But even if they were, I think that there's still some sort of level of understanding that they just don't have. And so I think when you're a parent and you're trying to teach your children these things and it doesn't seem to stick, you know, you keep throwing it against the wall and nothing's happening, I think it's important for us to know, at least mentally as parents, that it would make total sense for my 12-year-old to tell me that she hates God. Yeah. Right? Like that would be
especially when, you know, if they're going to school and around other kids that you know, don't go to church and don't have those beliefs.
And again, that could be off-putting, right? If my if Charlotte just bold-faced looked at me and was like, I hate God, right? That would be really off-putting to me. I might cry. But it's one of those things that's like, that should be not surprising. Like, it's not like children are sinless before they're 15, you know? Like, they're terrible. So anyway, so that's kind of the perspective. I think that the perspective you have going into it. Are y'all, now, and y'all don't have kids, are y'all scared that one day, let's just say one day you're going to have them, that one day your children are going to hate you for this?
No. For, like, trying to do these things here?
Yeah.
No.
I don't. Partially. Like, I don't even know if I want to have kids. Sure. And one of the main reasons is, you know, you can bring them up in church and then, you know, be good kids and be saved and all that stuff, and then they can just all of a sudden 180 flip and just, you know, be all have worldly views and just go the complete opposite way. And that scares the crap out of me.
Right.
The thought of them turning against me eventually.
Right, because you can't control them. Like, you can't, at a certain age, you got to let them go, and they've got to make their own choices and all that stuff. You know, to me, it's more about, because, so, you know, went to seminary, I learned all the big words and concepts and philosophical sayings and all that stuff. And it's like, well, you know, if I don't have any children, then none of my children will go to hell. That's like the first thought that pops into my mind. But I don't know that it's my job, and it's obviously not, to decide that. And so I'm doing what I feel as though is part of my role as a husband to have children. And I think that along with these types of things are a blatant obedience to God no matter what happens. Does that make sense? So even if my children yell and scream in my face and they tell me that they hate me for this and they're judging me for this or whatever, I can look at God in the end of the day and go, I'm doing the best that I possibly can. But I think it's like a twofold thing. So you can serve God and not smash your children over the head with a Bible. Okay. So you can serve God and not just totally knock your kids out with a Bible. Okay. So let me ask you a really hard question that you might be uncomfortable with. Did either of your parents ever sit you down and read the Bible with you and explain its meaning?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Do you ever think about that?
Do I ever think about it not happening? I mean, no, not really. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, you turned out pretty good. So.
I mean, okay. Yeah. I wouldn't say pretty good, but, you know.
I mean,
all right.
I'm biased.
Yeah, that's right. No, I mean, I don't hold any anger or grudges.
Sure.
So, no, I haven't thought about it.
Okay. What about you? Really? You said yes, right? So, what did that look like?
I mean, I know that we would always, well, my dad used to teach a Sunday school class.
Okay.
Here for several years. So, like on Sunday, I don't know if it was like Sunday nights or if it was every night. Because once we got a little older, we kind of got out of the habit of it a little bit more.
Sure.
I mean, we still would just have, like, I mean, conversations about biblical things and still do now if we ever bring up something.
Yeah.
But whenever we were, like, elementary school age and even some middle school age, we would, you know, sit down, and if we, for some reason, were at church on a Sunday morning, my dad would do, like, a lesson for us. Or if we were out of town, he would do a lesson for us. And then, like, every night, whenever we were really, really little, every night we would, like, sit down and he would just, you know, the little kid Bible stories that you hear, we would go over things like that, and then he would, like, make us each pray and that kind of thing, and then praying before meals all the time.
Gotcha. So, yeah. So I'm kind of in Will's camp. You know, both my parents went to church my whole life, but my mom and dad never read the Bible with me. Now, I'm not judging them for that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're terrible because of that, because I have great parents. But I think it's something that I personally desire for my children. Now, I don't want... The struggle is going to be not making it seminary for them, you know, like, oh, well... God's name here is Elohim, and that means it's the plural, and that hints to the Trinity here in Genesis. You know, like, that's not, I mean, I think you could, like, reference that, but that's not really what they need at that moment. They just need you to be able to read the Bible with them and all that stuff. And outside of that, I think that this passage proves that there's got to be, because there's this misconception, and I'm going to play the youth pastor card, there's this misconception that I'm tasked with raising your children to be biblical people. That's just what I feel like is the expectation. Now, I feel like that's an unfair expectation because I only get to teach them 45 minutes a week. I mean, I'm around them all the time. We have spiritual conversations all the time. And if you want to count the time they have with their Sunday school teachers or Sunday night leaders, you're probably looking at 3 hours. But if you added up all the hours within a week, I think 3 hours is pitiful in comparison to how often they're around their parents.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's a man-made flip of how discipleship is supposed to work. So instead of the parents taking the bulk of the responsibility of this discipleship, it's now fallen on me. It's fallen on Will. It's fallen on the pastor, Eric. It falls on anybody else at the church. It falls on my Sunday school teacher. It doesn't fall on me. And I think a lot of that has to do with the craziness of our life and the, you know, going here or there. We get home at 6 o'clock, we eat, do our homework, get in the bed, go to sleep, wake up, and it's like this same rotation. But I think it's one of those things where it needs to become. So if you're a parent listening to this, and again, I'm not a pro, but if you're a parent listening to this, it's one of those things where I feel like you have to be intentional with the moments that you have. You know, I think there should be some sort of systematized, purposeful, intentional time you should have with your kid every day, if not every other day or every 3 days or something, where you sit down as family and you read the Bible together and you have constructive conversation about it. But also when someone cuts you off in traffic and you want to say that swear word and then you don't, right? And then you be honest with your son and you say, "Son, I wanted to say the most beep, beep, beep word in the world, but I didn't because I'm trying to exercise my self-control, which God has given me. I do not have self-control on my own, but with God's help, I do have self-control." Because when that happens, your son goes, "Huh, no wonder I blow up at everything and I say all sorts of stuff." You know, so it's these moments or, you know, you're pulled over at a gas station and a poor person approaches you and they ask you for money and you go, "Okay, I only have $2 because who carries money anymore?" And you hand $2 to them and they walk off and your daughter goes, "Dad, why did you do that?" Or, "Mom, why did you do that?" "Well, it's because God has entrusted me with the money that I have and he's entrusted me to help the poor." Now, all those situations could happen different ways, right? Like, you may not have money for the poor person. You may let out the word that you weren't supposed to let out. But any of those moments are these learning moments where no matter what you're doing or where you're going, even if you're like a travel softball player and you're on the road all the time, that's a perfect opportunity for you to invest in your softball player. Or if you have to drop your kids off at 3 different practices within 45 minutes of each other, unfortunately, that kid that gets dropped off last will have the bulk of the pouring into. But I think that that's something that we have to be intentional about. It's not just going to happen. You know, like it's not going to be like, "God, may I have more spiritual conversations, amen, and go to sleep." It's going to be you consciously saying, "Hey, we're going to do this." And this isn't to toot my own horn or anything, but I remember when Charlotte was a baby, and I've tried to do this better and better, but as she was a baby, I'd hold her, and I would just talk to her, you know. Even though she's a baby, and I know that she can't understand anything that I'm saying, "Listen, Dada loves you, but God loves you more than Dada does." Or, "Dada loves you, but Dada didn't die for you, Jesus died for you." Just things like that, you know, because you don't want it to, like, go into this weird manipulation and indoctrinated thing. Like, you don't want to do that, But at the same time, you need to let them know about the change and the and all of that that's happened to you, and you need to say, hey, this is my experience with this. Even when they're a baby, I think. And if you're not doing that, I'm not judging you, but I think that even in those little moments where you're just tired and you just would rather just go to sleep and you want to put your screaming baby down, what if you just took that time to pray with your baby or talk with your son or daughter? And as Charlotte's grown up, now we have Bible story books. We have, which is funny because I'm a pastor and a seminary person, so like I'm judging all of these books based upon what they include or don't include, or how the picture looks compared to the actual situation that I know that it looks like. And I'm like, this isn't how it goes, and I'll turn the page. You know, and it's funny, and we can laugh together, even though she has no idea what I'm saying. But it's one of those things where it's a continual thing. It's not like, it's like a switch. Like I'm trying to teach myself to learn to be this type of person. So, again, y'all are pretty far away from having kids probably. Now, who knows?
You never know.
Who knows? If you know anybody, Will's looking. But
that's a joke.
You know.
That's it. I can't even see what he just did.
So anyway, do y'all have anything? Anything about parenting? Anything?
Yeah. So you're done with your point there?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
I was probably more than I anticipated.
No, that's fine. So I have a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
Jenna, you have anything you can go if you do or no?
I mean, the only thing that kind of came to my brain whenever you were saying that just then is, I mean, not that I have like that much experience with what I'm about to say, because I don't have kids and I am the youngest of three kids.
Sure.
But at least what I've been told by like my parents and the people is like, you know, kids aren't as stupid as you think they are.
Right.
And they also like will pick up on a lot more than you think they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So if you can, I don't know how to really relate that much to that, but just like you said, like the small things, just reading things with them and praying over them. Like, I mean, eventually like they will start
to understand.
You know, it'll be a habit and they'll understand it.
Right. And we pray with Charlotte at night and things like that. So I don't even know that she really realizes what we're doing, but she knows we put our hands together and say amen. And that's...
Hey. And she's a champ at
that. And she prays for her parents, her bunnies. Maui, all of them. She's like, I pray for, and she'll just look around the room, the fan. Like, that's what she'll do, which is fine. I'm sure, like, God's like, I'm taking care of that fan.
I got but that it's, fan.
But it's whatever.
That fan will never break.
That fan is going to have a great life. So, anyway.
Yeah, so the big thing that comes to my mind is it's going to be hard to replicate anything sort of spiritual to your kids if you're not doing any sort of things to yourself.
Yes.
So if you're not in any sort of personal quiet time or doing, if you're not reading your Bible at all, if you're not going to church, then it's really no wonder why you wouldn't be replicating that to your children, because you're not doing it. So I think that's important as well, is to make sure that you're also being poured into, or you are in the Word as well.
Yeah.
So that was a thought that came to mind. And then also, I mean, I think it's just, it really just goes back to what you said. I mean, I think it's just, your kids, because you asked us earlier, well, what if they don't want to, or what if they rebel? And I think one of the things I would say is that your kids don't really, they won't understand the importance of what you're doing, either A, until they get older, or B, until you really teach them that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's always good to just almost reinforce and say, hey, we're doing it for this reason. This is why we are doing whatever, whether that be reading a story or whatever. But what I really liked was doing this sort of almost as you're living life type teaching. So as you're driving in the car, or as you're doing these things, and these things sort of come to mind, or they happen to you, and how even those can be good examples to turn that back and say, well, I did this because of this or whatever.
And it's so easy though, right? Like if I'm in my car with my mom and we're going to baseball practice and it's 3 hours away, I'm going to be on my phone. I'm going to have my AirPods in. You know, I'm going to be looking at Instagram. I'm distracted by literally everything. And that's a time where we need to really put all that stuff. I'm not saying you have to talk for 3 hours, but we need to put that stuff away for a time, you know, and say, hey, what do you think about this? Or I saw this on the news, or I saw this at school, or whatever.
Yeah.
I just think it's precious time. And we don't get it back.
Well, how often do you have 3 hours of uninterrupted time?
Exactly.
I mean, not often, right? Mm-mm. Especially now, with everything going on. And then I think it's also important to know that you as a parent aren't going to be perfect. So it's not that you're going to miss opportunities for these things to happen. You yourself are going to not want to do that one devotional that night, or you're going to be tired, ready to go to bed. And I think that's fine, too. I just don't want anybody to hear that we're telling anybody to be perfect or anything. That's not going to happen. But
no.
But yeah.
That's
I feel
it.
Like I'm a little bit more ready to be a parent now.
I don't know.
I'm a little better.
I'll be a dog mom. I'll have dogs.
That's right.
This is my son.
Yeah. That's it.
This is my son, holds up Corky.
Well, we do thank you for listening to the episode today. You can always follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can watch the podcast video on Facebook. I'm kind of amazed that I even say that anymore because I almost think the majority of people are currently watching it.
Probably.
Not listening. So those of you who I'm looking at right now, okay. I appreciate you watching us on Facebook. Please leave us a rating and review on your podcast listening app of choice or just comment down below on Facebook. Also, to find out more information about FPC Blackshear, you go to fpcblackshear.com. That's very complicated. fpcblackshear.com to find out more information about
what is it?
FPC Blackshear. As long as you know the church's name, you're generally pretty good.
Yeah.
As always, we are for the word, for the truth, and for the church. We hope you enjoyed this series. We'll be back next week for one more episode before a small hiatus. Thanks again, always, for listening to the Pastor and Intern podcast.